So we're on to on the Ministry of Medical again, and we're on to number three. There may be a handout, but just a few questions to unpack, particularly verse six. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. For this reason, I, Paul, remind you, Timothy, to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So immediately thinking, what is the gift? I think it's three main possibilities. It's the gift for word ministry. That's how Jonathan Griffiths takes it. It's the gift necessary to preach the word, as Paul charges Timothy in chapter 4. Second possibility is that it's a wider thing. It's authority and power for all the duties of evangelistic pastoral ministry. That's how most of the older commentators take it. They usually connect it to Timothy's ordination. So it's the authority and power for all of pastoral ministry. John Piper's got a slightly different understanding. He takes it that it's the white hot fire of unashamed courage to speak openly of Christ and to suffer for the gospel. And he gets that from how the passage flows on. So verse six goes into verse 7, for the Spirit gives us power, love, self-discipline, so do not be ashamed. And that's obviously a big theme through the whole letter, not being ashamed of the gospel. So I always want to take things together. I think you can take all those three things together and say that this is the gift of unashamedly, courageously fulfilling all the duties of pastoral ministry, which at its heart is the word ministry of preaching Christ. So five questions to test ourselves on this. Number one, this idea that it's the gift of God. Are we fearfully conscious that it is not ours by nature? I remember some years ago being really scared by that story of Samson. I'm sure you've heard lots of preaching on Samson, but you know, a number of things there, you know, how his gift didn't go with godliness, how God using him didn't mean that God approved of him, and then how God took that gifting away. And it struck me really forcibly that any abilities in gospel ministry that I have are a gift. They're not mine, they're not natural, they're not hardwired, they can be taken away in an instant. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2, we have this ministry by the mercy of God. I think I need to feel that deeply. Just because you preached a fantastic sermon last week doesn't really mean anything for this week. Certainly not in a spiritual effectiveness sense. You can't just knock it out. And I find that really, really humbling, that there's a sense in which every time, every week, you're back to square one, completely dependent on the Lord, praying, please, you know, one more time, please, would you allow me to do this? Alec Mateer, in his wonderful book, Preaching, he says, you know, this is what sustains the novice and rebukes the can-do mentality of the season. So it's a gift, you know, that's wonderfully reassuring when we feel our inability, but it's also very humbling when we think, oh, you know, we can do this now. We've done this 100 times. It's a gift, and it could be taken away. And the other thing I think that flows out of it being the gift of God is we should be stewarding it for the sake of others and for the Lord. So gift, charisma, is always in Paul's thinking for others. So spiritual gifts are always given to serve the church. You get that 1 Corinthians 12, 14. You get it from the context of 2 Timothy. You know, this is clearly Timothy's been given this gift to serve the church as teaching pastor. Matthew 25, parable of the talents. Gifts are given for us to steward, to increase. It's that idea of fanning into flame. We want to be multiplying those gifts, but for the master. So it's always for others. And I think there is that danger when we start talking about fanning into flame the gift that's been given to us, that it can become just a self-improvement thing. And I need to ask myself, I need to check my motivations. Am I wanting to get better at preaching, at leadership, so that I would feel more competent or look more competent, or so that I would actually serve people better, even if that's not seen, that I would actually reach people for the gospel better, that I would please my commanding officer? So it's just that motivation check. Third question, this whole idea of fanning into flame. Are we working hard on our preaching, our leadership? Fanning a flame is hard work, isn't it? If you've had a very reluctant barbecue, and you know that thing when you sort of get a massive bit of card, or you know, it's sort of a some sort of tray or something, and you're fanning it, and you know, it's actually very hard work. And I think it's just a simple thing. Are we working hard at these things? Yes, we're completely dependent on the Spirit. The Spirit and our hard work, you see, all the way through this letter go together. But it is hard work. You know, later Paul gives that image of a hardworking farmer. You know, farmers get up to milk cows at 5 a.m. It's hard work. I think it has that dimension of comprehensiveness. So all the duties of your ministry fulfill, you know, a farmer's got to be looking after everything on the farm. You know, obviously in church life, we don't want to be doing everything ourselves. We do want team ministry, but there are a whole load of components to pastoral ministry. There's a whole load of things that you need to at least ensure that they're done, even if not by you. And I find it's just easy to just spend time on what we find easiest, not to work hard on fanning all the bits of the fire, in a sense, into flame. Also, there's this carefulness, that the quality of the different tasks that we're doing. Are we doing them like that athlete, according to the rules, not cutting corners? And I think that's an easy one to slip into, particularly as we go on in ministry and get further on, that they could just get a bit better at faking it. Jonathan Griffiths says, he's talking about word ministry particularly, but he says, I got a bit, I think it applies to lots of other things as well, but he says, I got a bit faster. So it used to take him hours and hours and hours to write a sermon. Then he says, I got a bit faster at putting a sermon together, but the work did not actually get any easier. It is labor, sheer hard work, studying the Bible and getting it right, and then reading the surrounding culture and knowing the congregation well enough to preach the word to them in a powerful and life-transforming way. Although word ministry never gets easy, I think we can reach a stage, and others further on in word ministry than me attest to this, when we start to be able to fake it. We become good enough at making it look like we have done the hard work on the text so that our congregation thinks we've actually put in the hard slog. That's a dangerous stage to reach, because our temptation will always be to take the route of least resistance and simply fake it, to stop working at the text and stop working at our preaching and knowing our people. And I think that's true. I mean, a few obvious examples in that particular line: reheating material. So I'm just using material that I've used before, I just reheat it a bit. Obviously you have to do that sometimes, but if I start doing that a lot, that's worrying. Also, there can be that tendency to flatten out all the genres. So I basically, all my sermons have, they all have the same kind of feel and tone to them. It doesn't matter whether I'm preaching the epistles or prophets or Psalms or Proverbs, they all sound pretty similar. And another thing that I've noticed in myself and seen in others is, you can get to this point where we just start sort of skimming across the top of a passage. We don't go deep into it. So we just read a passage and we sort of, like those kind of pond skaters, you know, those sort of little insect things that kind of skate across the surface. We kind of just notice two or three kind of nuggets or sort of things that we can launch off of and make our pet points that we'll always make and bring out the illustrations we always use. And we think, you know, we've got a sermon there. That's three. I can see three kind of P's there. Bam, I'm there. We're not doing that deep work of going hard and deep into it. Another thing on this fanning into flame, are we making progress? So Richard Buse, he went to be with the Lord a few years ago, I think. But there's a wonderful audio that I've put a link to that I was just listening to again a little conference that he did at some sort of house party or something, where he's talking on preaching. And yeah, it's just a rich feast of loads of wisdom. And he says this point where that quite often preachers get to the age of maybe 25, 30, and they plateau, basically. They just don't get any better. He parodies a hymn, and he says, 10,000 are their texts, but all their sermons one. That it doesn't really matter what they're preaching on. It all sounds pretty much the same. It's all the same kind of points coming out again and again. And he just encourages us not to plateau. So just encourage us. We want to, if fanning into flame has that idea of the flame getting bigger, isn't it? You don't want to fan a flame to always be a little small flame. You fan a flame to get it bigger. We want to progress. So, if you want to go back and have a look at those sessions that Phil Alcott did for us and John Gemmell did for us in the recent months, I think there's loads of just helpful questions to ask ourselves there. Good to have a book on the go. I mean, I mentioned this, the Alec Mateer book on preaching. That's not a particularly long one. That's a nice read. I've been enjoying that recently. You know, listen to the Richard Views thing. Just have something on the go that's sharpening you a bit. And on leadership generally. I mean, that's why we meet together, isn't it? Weekly to sharpen on these things. Do feel free to send Perks or me a video or one of anyone else on this call, you know, a video that you've done of yourself preaching recently, or anything else that you're working on. You know, I think someone did that recently, and very happy to give each other feedback on that sort of thing. But also I think this feeds into the coaching thing that I think Perks is going to talk about later. That's a great way to be progressing, to have someone else asking you those questions. Are we making progress in all these different areas? And the last one, you know, fan into flame. Are we increasing in heat? Flame, I think this is what Piper gets really, really helpfully in his sermon on this, is, just to use his words again, the white hot flame of God's gift, of unashamed courage to speak openly of Christ and to suffer for the gospel. There's an intensity, there's a heat, there's a passion to this, a passion for the Lord, a passion for his people, a passion for the lost. And are we growing in that heat, in that fieriness of our concern? And, you know, specific kind of thing on that, just yesterday evening, Perks and I were in a seminar group where we're just talking about knowing people, knowing the cultures around us, getting into the community, going outside our comfort zones out of love for people to know them better. Are we sort of spending time walking around the local park, just looking at what people are doing, listening in to, well, obviously don't want to be eavesdropping on conversations, but just sort of being aware of who's there. Now we can go back into cafes and stuff, actually kind of going and sitting in a cafe to do to write a talk or a Bible study, listening in to who's there, going to a local library, taking washing to a local laundrette, and actually just getting out of our comfort zones, pursuing people, loving people, being concerned for people. So that was a question that kind of struck me. So I think we'll stop it there. There's plenty of questions. To maybe go into groups and just maybe think of maybe one of those that strikes us and pray those things in, pray that we would be fanning into flame the gift that we've been given.